Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you would like to follow along in today's message in your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now today I'll be beginning in verse 8. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8 concerning this subject, using the law lawfully. Paul writes here in 1 Timothy 1:8, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." Using it lawfully. Now last week I dealt with this same subject. Last week was part one of this series on using the law lawfully. And I went from 1 Timothy 1 up to this verse to show the context. But basically, let me just state today, and I urge you to get that message if you want to study these scriptures. But basically, what's happening here is Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, a young evangelist who was under Paul's ministry and teaching concerning the gospel. Paul had left Timothy at the church at Ephesus to guide and teach and support those people, the believers. But as in all of the churches back then, and we'll see as in the churches today, false preachers had sought to creep in, claiming to be teachers of the law. Many of these were unbelieving Jews who claimed to be Christian, who claimed, just like in, for example, the book of Galatians, the churches of Galatia, they claimed to believe in Christ, they claimed that salvation was by grace, but they said Gentile believers had to be circumcised according to the law, and then they had to keep the law of Moses. They had to come under the law to really be saved, to really be righteous and holy. And what Paul is saying here is that's an abuse of the law. He said they were just people who promoted fables, unwarranted, unfounded stories. They desire, look at verse 7 of 1 Timothy 1, they desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. That kind of reminds me over in the book of Galatians, when he talked about to those who profess to be believers, he said, "You that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not really understand what it says? Because if you did, you would not desire to be under it. You're not using it lawfully." So he says in verse 8, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." Now I want to go on to a few more verses in this chapter before I talk about what I know is the main way that people abuse the law. But look here in verse 9. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 9. He says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man." Now that, what a statement that is. The law is not made for a righteous man, but the law is made for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers and fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10, it's made for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now you know who that covers? That covers all of us by nature, because we're all sinners. And it even takes it right down to the very nth degree to show that the law was not made for a righteous person, but for those who are unbelievers. What he's saying. Why was it made for them? What is he talking about? Well, let me give you some thoughts here from the Bible, because that's the only source and foundation of truth. But first of all, consider this. As I mentioned this a little bit last week, what is the law? Well, the law is God's Word, whatever God says. Now, many people, when they think of the law, they think of the Ten Commandments. They think of the Old Covenant law. Well, the nation Israel was under the Ten Commandments, the Old Covenant law. Not just Ten Commandments. That was the center of the Old Covenant. There were other laws. I think some scholars have counted over 640 or 50 laws that where you find in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, the law. There was the moral law. That was basically the Ten Commandments. There was the civil law. There was the ceremonial law. All of that. It was all one unit. All right? But that law was given to the nation Israel on Mount Sinai, and it lasted as a covenant upon those people until the death of Christ. What the book of Hebrews, rather, chapter 9, calls the time of reformation, the time of change. Are we under the old covenant law today as if we're believers? No, we're not. Does that mean we have no law? Well, of course it doesn't mean that. Whatever Christ commands us, that's our law. Now, that you know, he didn't make suggestions. He lays down the law. He lays down the word. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, for example, that believers are not under law, but under grace. Well, you got to keep that in its context. It doesn't mean that as believers in Christ, we don't have things that we're commanded to do and not do. It simply means we're not condemned by the law. That's what that's talking about. But I'll get to that later on. Maybe not today, but in another program. But here's the thing about it. Was there no law until God gave the law to Moses and the children of Israel on Sinai? Well, of course there was law. The law goes all the way back to creation. And I mentioned this last week, how God created man, put him in the garden, and he laid down the law. And it was summarized in that forbidding him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But there was law. There was law of conscience. You know, where there's no law, there's no sin and there's no righteousness. There's no standard. So sin cannot be charged where there's no law. Paul wrote that by inspiration of the Spirit. Well, what is it to use the law lawfully or unlawfully when it's talking about the law? Well, let me just give you this. The main way that people use the law unlawfully in a wrong way is when they seek righteousness before God by their works of the law. That's an unlawful use of the law. The Scripture is so clear on this issue when it speaks of man under the law. For example, it says in the book of Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now you see, that's the problem. God is righteous, and we're not. So why did God lay down the law to any of us? He said over here in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 9, knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for sinners. You know, if there was no sin in the world, God wouldn't have to lay down the law. If everybody was righteous and perfect And everybody was loved God perfectly and loved their neighbor. We wouldn't need laws. It wouldn't be necessary. So the law was not made for a righteous man. But here's the problem. By nature and by practice, there are no righteous men. There's none. Verse 10 of Romans 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, who's that talking about? That's talking about all of us by nature, as we are naturally born. We are not born righteous with a right standing before God. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. It goes on. Look at verse 11 of Romans 3. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. You see, in this quest for righteousness, religion will not help you. Nothing will. Because it's an impossibility. Look at verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. There's only one way to God. And that way is Christ. So anything other than Christ crucified, His blood and righteousness alone, if you go any other way, you've gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. It's an unprofitable way other than Christ. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That is in God's sight. You have to understand that. Well, jump down to verse 19. Now, remember he said the law was not made for a righteous man. You know, when God gave the law to Israel on Sinai, God knew that they would break it and they would not keep it, and they didn't. Now, I don't say that self-righteously, because if we had been under that law, we'd been the same shape. We're sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somebody asked, well, why did God give them a law that He knew they would not and could not keep? Well, this is the answer. It says in verse 19 of Romans 3, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law was given to expose their sinfulness. And whatever law we're under, whatever form of law we're under, that's what it should do if the Holy Spirit slays us by the law. Now that's what it means to be slain by the law. It's to be brought by the Holy Spirit to know that if God were to ever judge me by my works of the law, or that if God were to ever give me what I deserve or have earned under the law, it would be eternal death. That's what it is to be slain by the Spirit. Did you know that? You see these false preachers on TV, they'll come and they'll hit people on the head and they'll fall back. And then some of them will say, well, that's being slain in the Spirit. No, it's not. That's false religion. It's not of the Bible. To be slain by the law. You know, Paul said this in Romans chapter 7. He said, before I was brought to faith in Christ, I thought I was alive. Because I kept the law. But then I found out I didn't keep the law. I'm a sinner and I died. That's being slain by the law. Over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says this, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You see, the law demands perfection. And if we don't have it in ourselves, we're sinners and the law demands death. We're guilty before God. That's what that means, based on our works. And so that's why the law was given, to show us our guilt and deservedness of condemnation. But look at Romans 3 and verse 20. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why he gave them a law that they couldn't or wouldn't keep, is to show them their sin. And then over in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it tells us, Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The offense is our sin. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Over in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, and verse 19, here's the question. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why did God give the law? Now what the apostle is saying here is that salvation is not by your works of the law. Salvation is by the promise of grace based on Christ's works in the law. Well, they ask, well, why did God give Israel the law? Well, look at it. Galatians 3 and verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Because of sin. The law's not made for a righteous man, but for sinners. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. That's Christ, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. That was Moses. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Now here's what's happening. And later on in Galatians 3, he says the law was their schoolmaster, their tutor, to bring them to Christ. The law was in effect to Israel until Christ came. Now, that law exposed their sinfulness and their depravity. It does the same for us if the Holy Spirit brings us to know the law. And so whenever a sinner seeks salvation by works of the law, or whenever a sinner seeks righteousness by works of the law in order to attain or maintain salvation, a right relationship with God, he's using the law unlawfully. Now turn to Romans chapter 9, and I'll show you a prime example of that. As the Apostle Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says in verse 30, this is Romans 9 and verse 30, he says, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? Now, the Gentiles that he's talking about here are believers. He's not talking about all Gentiles without exception. All Gentiles without exception have not attained righteousness, the righteousness of faith. But he speaks of the righteousness of faith. Now, what is the righteousness of faith? What exactly is that? Does that mean that my believing is my righteousness? Because that's what a lot of people kind of think today. In other words, God knows I'm a sinner. He knows I can't keep the law perfectly. So he accepts my faith, my believing, in the place of a perfect obedience. And that is not what the righteousness of faith is. The righteousness of faith in the book of Romans has been already been clearly defined. Faith there is the revelation of God, the teaching, the doctrine of Christ, the revelation of the righteousness of God. The righteousness of faith is the righteousness that Christ alone worked out by himself as the substitute and surety of his people on the cross when he died. So in other words, the righteousness of faith is not simply my believing. The righteousness of faith is believing that Christ alone is my righteousness. His work alone is my righteousness. Now, do you want me to prove that to you? Read on. Look at verse 31 of Romans 9. He says, what shall we say then that the, or verse 31 rather, but Israel, now the Gentile, believing Gentiles, they attained the righteousness, they found it in Christ. Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, same, all right, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They didn't make it. Why? Verse 32, that word wherefore means why. because they sought it not by faith. Now remember, what is it to seek righteousness by faith? Not in my believing. I do believe, but that's not my righteousness. My righteousness is Christ. That's what I believe. Faith has an object. So he says, but as it were by the works of the law. That they were abusing, they were using the law unlawfully, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now we get to the crux of it. What is that stumbling stone? Well, he's quoting here from the book of Isaiah. And that stumbling stone is identified here. Look at verse 33 of Romans 9. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion, that picture of the church, a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him. That stumbling stone and rock of offense is a him. That's a person. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then go on to verse 1 of chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And look at verse 4. For Christ is the end, the finishing, the accomplishment of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see that? My righteousness is not my believing. My righteousness is Christ, and He's who I believe in. You see, down there in verse 10 of Romans 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 2, Paul writes in verse 19, Galatians 2 and verse 19, he says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. How am I through the law dead to the law? Well, he says it, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. How was I crucified with Christ? If you're a believer, you were crucified with Him. He stood as your representative, your surety, your substitute. When He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. When He arose again, I arose again. He did it for me. How do I know He did it for me? He didn't do it for everybody. He did it for me. He did it for every believer. That's what He says, to everyone that believeth. That's what John 3:16 means. That's the world of believers. So Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That's how I threw the law. I'm dead. Christ kept the law. Christ satisfied justice that stood against me. And I'm dead to the law. How am I dead to the law? The law cannot condemn me. It cannot look at me and say, you must die. Why? Because I already died. When? In my Savior on that cross. See, death has been swallowed up in victory. How do you know He accomplished what He set out to do? He arose from the dead because of my justification. By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified. That means to be declared by God not guilty and to be declared righteous. Now, if I teach you that you can be justified by your works, that's using the law unlawfully. But if I tell you that Christ and Christ alone kept the law for His people, believe in Him, that's using the law lawfully. Look at verse 20 again of Galatians chapter 2. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, Paul's not speaking out of both sides of his mouth there. He's simply saying, I live, but the source of that life is not me, it's Christ. The power of that life is not me, it's Christ. And he says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And look at verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God or make it void. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Those who teach that righteousness in any way, to any degree, at any stage, is conditioned on the sinner, what he does, what he believes, or whatever. They're actually saying that the death of Christ was for nothing. That's an abuse of the law. There are people today who will tell you, well, we believe salvation by grace. It's all of Christ. But you have to do this. You have to do that in order to be saved or in order to be kept saved. Do you realize? Now, let me say something to you here. And I know it's going to offend a lot of people. It's called the offense of the cross. Here's a church organization. They teach, well, you can be saved by conditioned on your faith. But then later on, if you commit some heinous sin or a series of sins or something like that, you can be lost again. That's an abuse of the law. They're actually saying Christ died in vain. Because you see, as I stand in His righteousness, imputed to me, accounted to me, I can never be lost again. Now, that is not a motivation to excuse sin. Not in a believer. Because there's a power of God within too. And it comes from Christ. But to claim that salvation at any stage, to any degree, in any way, is conditioned on the sinner's obedience in any way, even believing, is to say that Christ died in vain. Now, must we believe? Yes. Will we believe? Yes. But you see, that's the fruit of righteousness of the law established by Christ. It's not the ground. It's not the cause. It's not the condition. Christ met the conditions. He fulfilled all righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law for righteousness. How do you know He did it for me or for you or for anybody? To everyone that believeth. That's the key to using the law lawfully. All right. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.